we may not be in Berea sending the team off to Kansas City, and we may not be in the drive-through rally downtown, but it's another Josh and Joe podcast, WFNY podcast edition, brought to you by Evergreen Podcast. We're live on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube. We're previewing a Browns playoff game. Browns Chiefs. They're one of eight teams left. It still doesn't seem real.
I know. It's surreal. Yeah. It's amazing that we're in middle of January. We haven't talked draft once yet.
I feel like in a year, well, I guess it's 2021 now, but 2020 was such a weird year. And the fact that we haven't talked Browns draft and it's January 16th
right,
is incredible. Plus, like, this is the first time we've talked about it and we're not even talking about the draft.
Plus, it's in Cleveland this year.
And
the Browns don't even know what position they're in. It's surreal.
All right, but yeah, Browns Chiefs.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Chiefs, we know who the Chiefs are. They're dominant offense. I guess we'll talk Chiefs offense first. I feel like for years the Browns haven't been able to guard a tight end, and now they're going up against the guy that just set the receiving yards record for tight ends, Cleveland native Travis Kelce. How do they go about stopping him, or do they just let Travis Kelce do what he does and stop Tyreek Hill?
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Well, that's both of them are hard to do. I think the key is just tackling. We've seen it all year where the Browns' defense has struggled with tackling. Travis Kelce, once he catches the ball, he can make big plays after the catch. He can break tackles. So once he makes the catch, which he's going to do, there's no one can stop Travis Kelce. It hasn't been shown yet. But they got to limit the damage, not give up big plays, just keep him underneath and secure the tackle when he does make the catch, because he will.
So you're telling me that the Browns defense has to guard a tight end and make tackles?
Right. I know.
I guess it's going to be another, hey, Browns offense, you need to outscore the Kansas City offense again.
Right. We knew that coming in. It's similar to last week, but on like steroids, because this Kansas City team is like a million times better than the Pittsburgh offense. But the same things still apply. Tackling, you can't allow big plays after the catch, and then limiting the run game to make it just a one-dimensional offense. They can't make Le'Veon Bell have a huge game in the run game. They got to force Patrick Mahomes to throw it and to win the game, which he obviously can, but it's going to be more difficult if he has to do it by himself. So it's a similar thing than what we were talking about last week versus Pittsburgh. We got to tackle. Can't let the run game get going for Kansas City, and just keep everything underneath and no big plays.
The good thing is that the Browns are literally playing with house money. If they get blown out, they're kind of expected to get blown out. If they keep it close, good. If they win, I honestly don't even know what will happen in both Cleveland and the NFL if the Browns beat the Chiefs tomorrow. I don't even want to think about it yet because I don't want to jinx it. But no, it's considering how the videos I saw downtown Cleveland and in Berea this morning, and that's just for a divisional round playoff game, I don't even want to think about it. But yeah, the Chiefs, a tall task. We all know that. Their offense is as close to dominant as you can get, I think. They really don't have a weakness offensively. Le'Veon Bell has literally been their backup running back at times this year. But now they're without CEH. He's questionable. Clyde Edwards there. Yeah. They're without Sammy Watkins, which I think could be kind of big.
That's huge, yeah. Because they don't really have the depth. Like he's really good for like a third receiver, because Travis Kelce is pretty much a receiver. but yeah, without Sammy Watkins, that's another playmaker that could have killed the Browns, because how many times have we seen like a third receiver just humiliate the Browns defense? So it was huge to not have him in the game. Instead of CEH, we still have to face Le'Veon Bell, which is still a tall task. So that one is not as big of a loss, because given who the backup is, Le'Veon Bell can take over a game, as we've seen so many times with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to be just like for how many Browns games. I think if the Browns want to win, they probably have to score 35 plus, if not 40 plus. I mean, it's gonna be tough, especially with the Browns' defensive backfield that has struggled so much this year. It's gonna be tough for them to stop Patrick Mahomes and not allow him to score even if he scores three touchdowns, that's automatically 21 points. You're not even factoring in field goals yet or running back touchdowns.
Right. Yeah, it's gonna be a high scoring game. We knew that right when the game ended last week. It's a team that you're not gonna really hold down. You shouldn't expect them. Like Browns have like a heroic defensive performance. That it's just not gonna happen.
Breaking news: that will never happen in this season.
Yeah. It's just not something that's gonna really happen. They just have to outscore them, which, as we've seen over the past 2 months now, the Browns could do that. The Browns offense has shown that they can outscore people. So it's nice going into with that, knowing that we do have a chance to do that. It's gonna be a tall order, obviously. But it's definitely there for the taking. It's not some pipe dream that I know a lot of people think it is outside of Cleveland. I truly believe there's a chance that they can beat them, but it's got to be a high scoring game.
I guess we'll talk about the offense here in a little bit, but you need Baker Mayfield to be very good Baker Mayfield to have a chance. Even if Nick Chubb, like I said, we'll talk about the offense here in a few minutes. But even if Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt dominate, which they could given the Chiefs' run defense, I still think you need Baker Mayfield to be like 90% very good Baker Mayfield. But we'll talk about that. The good thing about the Browns' defense, there's not many, let's be honest. Myles Garrett looked good last week.
He did.
He looked like pre-COVID Myles Garrett. Denzel Ward is back. I think that is like a... Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to put it.
And Kevin Johnson, which is
true. The Browns have both of their corners back. And Denzel Ward, it'll be interesting to see if they make him shadow Tyreek Hill, or if they just keep him on one side of the field, and just whoever goes to that side of the field, that's who he covers.
They'll probably, I would say, just keep him on one side. I think that's pretty much been their forte. It's for Tyreek Hill. It's going to be a two-man job. The safeties have to play. They have to know where he is at all times, because no corner can stop that speed just one-on-one. There's absolutely no one that can run with him. So you got to have a guy over top. being able to be in position to defend that. So it'll be a two-man job for that. And I think the defense does have an advantage in one spot. I think the offensive line for Kansas City is not the best. It's obviously it's not a terrible line, but it's definitely a line that you can take advantage of, especially with Myles Garrett. He looked really good last week. He might not have the stats on the stat book, but he was firing off the ball. And it looked like it was the first week in quite a while that he looked like it was his old self back on the field. So they need him. They need him in a big way. And it's definitely an area that the Browns defense can make a play. Getting pressure after Patrick Mahomes would be huge, because we've seen it. Patrick Mahomes, he can make mistakes. He's not one of those guys like Tom Brady who doesn't give it to you. Like Patrick Mahomes can throw some interceptions, make some mistakes. He obviously can recover and make the unbelievable plays that you never seen before. But it's definitely it's an offense that can make turnovers. So that'll be another huge thing to see, this defense getting some turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, we saw last week that Big Ben had 500 yards, but he had a horrible game because of his turnovers.
Yeah,
I feel like if they can. Probably allowing Mahomes in this offense to throw for 500 yards means a loss, but if they can create two or three turnovers, I don't really think the yardage like that matters, because they're creating those turnovers and the offense obviously executed off those turnovers, which is key. But forcing turnovers, I mean, I guess that's cliche too, but forcing turnovers is such a huge part of the game tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's throwing for 500 yards, I actually like the Browns' chances. That means the run game is not doing anything, and and they're forcing Mahomes to pass it. So that means they're playing from behind Kansas City, hopefully. Obviously, you never know. If he's getting, let's say this. If he gets the majority of it in the first half, then the Browns are screwed. but if it's like a second half game, which we saw in Pittsburgh, where Big Ben got most of his 500 yards in the second half, I think it's actually a good indicator that the Browns are in a good position to win this.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Woods certainly has his work cut out for him. He has to most likely double Tyreek Hill, at least put a safety over the top. Then he also has to bracket Travis Kelce. I mean, every single defense that's gone against Kansas City this year has had to do that, or tried to have to do that. And Travis Kelce is the second leading receiver. I think Tyreek Hill has had the eighth most yards in the regular season. So it'll be interesting just to see the scheme that Joe Woods try. I don't know if it'll work, but it'll be interesting to see what he tries to do to at least slow them down. He might not stop them, but he might slow them down a little bit.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, because just having two playmakers like Kelce and Hill that's impossible for a defense to, you can't double both, because that leaves so many other guys to be wide open. It's going to be a tall task. That's where pressure comes in. They can't, like, getting pressure on Mahomes will limit the time that Hill has to get open downfield. And that'll be a huge thing, getting pressure on him. And another thing also is not letting Mahomes extend the play, which he's just extraordinary at. It's similar to Lamar Jackson, but in terms of he can make plays with his arm and legs, Mahomes can. So you have to be aware of that. So keeping him in the pocket and just collapsing the pocket with it from the outside is going to be huge in this game, because they can't let him get out of the pocket and make plays, because that's where the huge, like, crazy plays that he makes happen.
That's where the rollouts happen for a wide open Tyreek Hill downfield, or the no-look passes happen. The less Patrick Mahomes highlights we get tomorrow, the better for the Browns.
Definitely.
And as far as making things difficult for Patrick Mahomes, I feel like, I mean, obviously sacks and like quarterback hits are ideal, but it doesn't even have to be that. It just has to make you, the Brown, Myles Garrett and company have to make things uncomfortable for Patrick Mahomes as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the number one thing for the defense. Getting after a quarterback, just getting, not making comfortable, as you said. That's the number one thing. And then, as we said, just tackling and not letting the big play happen, because we've seen how many times where they can score in two plays, one play at, in 30 seconds, and the game is just completely flipped. So limiting the big plays, getting pressure, and then just tackling is going to be huge for this defense.
Yeah, with how good Kansas City's offense is, I know the Browns, the chances of them getting off to another 28-0 lead are basically like 0.01% probably. But even if they did, I mean, we didn't feel comfortable last week. I feel like if the Browns would have to lead like 100-0 against the Chiefs offense to feel comfortable.
Yeah, they're just like they're a different animal, man. Any lead is not safe against them. And it doesn't matter what team you have. Like the Titans last year, I think they went up quite quickly and they just gave it up. It mattered like a half a quarter. That's why limiting the big plays is huge for them, because you can't let them quickly get back in the game. But I do agree that we do need to get off to a hot start. I think they actually will, because Kansas City is coming off, 2 weeks of not playing. They didn't. Most of the starters didn't play in the final week, week 17, and then they didn't play last week because of the bye. So that could be a nice advantage to the Browns, because they played every week so far, and not playing for 2 weeks, it's tough. You can be a little rusty. We've seen it so many times with teams with a couple weeks off. So I think that would be a big advantage, just getting off a good start. Just getting the confidence that, hey, we're in this. We can beat this team, and that'll be a huge momentum. Obviously, you're not going to get 28-0, but a couple touchdowns maybe, or a touchdown up off the first drive would be a huge for them.
Yeah, I mean, the longer the Browns stay in the game, I guess this is kind of cliche. I'm saying a lot of cliche things this podcast, but the longer the Browns stay in the game as a 10-point underdog, the more Kansas City will get kind of like shaken and the more confidence the Browns will get. So if the Browns are in the game in the fourth quarter, watch out. Right. Especially, I guess we'll switch to the offensive side of the ball for the Browns, because that's obviously the most important, because they're going to have to put up at least 5 touchdowns. I think if they don't put up 5 touchdowns, they lose. But we know how good Baker Mayfield has been lately. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, prior to last week, they've been struggling because they haven't been given the opportunities, I guess you could say. But the Chiefs defense has one of the worst run defenses in the league. I think if any week, I guess if the Browns could lean on their rush attack any week over the last like month and a half, it's this game, because you not only keep Mahomes off the field, but you put pressure on the Chiefs run defense, which has not been that good.
Right. Yeah, this is the game where the run game is just going to be huge. Obviously, you need great Baker Mayfield to win the game, but the run game's got to be at the top of their game. Just keeping them off the field. As we said, complimentary football, a good offense, a good prolonged offense is a great help to this defense, because they don't have to be on the field as long. Because the Browns need long drives. They need to take up time, and they need to run the ball. And that'll be huge if it looks like the offensive line should be intact, but we might not have Conklin, which would be a devastating blow. But they need to be great yet again, to control the clock. That's going to be one of the bigger things for the offense, controlling the clock, keeping the Kansas City offense off the field. Because they can, if they get on the field, they can make plays, and just, it can be a lopsided game and quickly.
And you not only keep the Kansas City offense off the field by controlling the clock and the time of possession, but you also get the Chiefs defense, specifically their run defense, tired. And if they're tired, especially in the second half, you can take advantage of that with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who will most likely be fresh because they split carries. So I guess, yeah, the more, if the Browns can, one of the biggest keys tomorrow is that the Browns can run the ball. I mean, like I said, that kind of seems like obvious, but it just affects the game so much in good ways for the Browns that they need to be able to run the ball, and they need to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball as well.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be another tough matchup for the Browns against Kansas City's defensive line. They got probably one of the top five, I would say, interior defense alignment, Chris Jones. That guy can disrupt the play quickly, and both in the run game and pass game. So he's definitely, it's going to be a big matchup. Another, we talked about last week how the interior had to face just a dominant interior. They got another one this week. So it's going to be another big game for the interior. Luckily, Joel Bitonio is back, which is just a huge plus for him. They have to block in the run game, create holes for this run game, and then, as we saw last week, got to keep Baker upright and not allow sacks or anything like that. Last week it showed like he had so much confidence that he was not going to get hit, which was a huge difference from the first game against Pittsburgh. He was sacked so many times, pressured so many times in that first game, but last week the offensive line stepped up, and it was great to see.
Yeah, as we mentioned, it's important that the Browns defensive line puts pressure on Patrick Mahomes just to make him feel uncomfortable. Kansas City will have the same exact mindset. They want Baker Mayfield to be uncomfortable as possible, especially because if he loses confidence, like we saw last year in the Freddie Kitchens offense, if he loses confidence, he leaves the pocket way too early a lot of the time. So if we were a Kansas City Chiefs fan, one of their biggest keys defensively is to make Baker Mayfield as uncomfortable as possible.
Right. Yeah, and that's always a key for any defense facing the Browns. Yeah. True. But yeah, it's definitely gonna. I sure hope Conklin is back, because that's gonna be a huge blow to that area to keep him upright if they have to place Kendall Lamb at right tackle. They gotta have Conklin back, which is. I think he's only practiced limited this week, which is not a great sign. But they need a healthy offensive line, just so this offense can be fully running smoothly, without much pressure, and with in the run game to make big plays, big run holes for them, because they're going to have to control the clock. Good offensive lines can control the clock by themselves by just giving them time and giving the run game enough gaps to find some holes and gain some yards.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's the Browns didn't have the full offensive line last week. We know that. But against Kansas City, when the offense needs to be as dominant as possible, they need to have all hands on deck as much as possible. Obviously, they're without OBJ, but luckily they have Hodge back. I feel like Hodge might be, at the very least, he adds more depth to the wide receivers, which is great. I mean, the more wide receivers you have, obviously, the better. But, I have a lot of confidence in this Browns offense, which if you would have told me that after week one, you would have called me a liar. But, yeah, my only worrisome thing is just the Browns defense against Patrick Mahomes. That worries me a lot.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to watch sometimes, like, that second half was a little hard to watch against Pittsburgh before they were able to make a turnover late in the game. But it's just going to be a high scoring game shootout. It's going to be a fun one to watch on offense. Defense, it's going to be a little ugly. I can't wait for it. I feel like we're going to see two of the top young quarterbacks in the league just balling out. So that's going to be fun to watch. Just seeing these two of the better young offenses in the league, quite frankly. It's going to be nice to see the battle and see who comes out on top.
Yeah, I mean, like I said a little bit ago, the longer the Browns stay in the game, the better. Because, you know, I'm sure Patrick Mahomes and the offense is like, oh, we can put up 50 points on these guys, and there's no way we're getting up 50. Right. But if the Browns can just be – if it's even a 10-point game or less in the fourth quarter, watch out, because they'll have all the confidence in the world playing as underdogs and playing – they're playing with house money. We know that. No one expected them to be here. So, I don't know. I just hope – I hope the Browns win tomorrow. But I just hope that it's a close game in the fourth quarter just to see what this team is all about.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome test for them. They're ahead of schedule that of all of our expectations. So as you've been saying, it's house money right now. Have fun. Just play to the top of your ability. That's why I don't want to see any like big mistakes or anything like that where it's just – self-inflicted wounds is another thing they got to avoid. Just play to your top of your ability and see where we're at the end of the game. That's all you can ask for at this point of the season with this young of an offense or young of a team and coaching staff. It's amazing where they're at and the position that they're in. In year one of Kevin Stefanski's tenure, it's amazing where we're at.
And it's also worth noting that Kevin Stefanski is back. I feel like for the Browns to be – I mean, obviously they look good last week. But for them to be at their maximum potential, they need their play caller and head coach.
Right. Yeah, there was times last week where you could definitely tell Kevin Stefanski wasn't there in terms of decision, clock management. There was a bit of just decision-making of going on fourth down and all that. So it's great to have just a full complement of this is the week where you just needed everybody here. You needed everybody on deck, ready to go, fighting. So getting Conklin back would be the final piece to that puzzle. But it's a good sign that this is probably the healthiest the Browns have been in a month or so. I can't even remember when the defense was at full health like this. It's gonna be fun to see what this defense has in store for us and what this offense is gonna. They're gonna score some points, man. It's fun. It's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, I hope it's fun, because if it's fun, that means it's at least a close game. And I feel like even if I know everyone wants the Browns to win, but I feel like even if they lose by like seven or less, they're still going to put the NFL on. I mean, they already did, I guess, but they're still going to put the NFL on notice and say that, hey, we're the real deal. Watch out for 2021 season.
Right. Yeah. This game can be, it could end the season, but it could be the jump start to next season. Like if they play well and they're in this game and they just lose by a Patrick Mahomes crazy play or something like that, this can be a jumping off point for next year. Their confidence will be high. Hey, we play with the best team in the league, the defending champions. We were one play away or so to win. It's going to be a huge confidence boost for them going forward. And then all the off-season additions that we can bring in, it's going to be a nice confidence boost, even if they lose by just like a touchdown or something like that. It's definitely a game that can change the future. Quite frankly, it can raise you above the level that you're currently expected to be at right now, which is a good sign from season one.
Yeah, I mean, literally no one. I don't even think we expected this year one with Stefanski. And Scott wrote about it on the site yesterday. But the culture, it's all about the culture. If you would have told me that the Browns would have this winning culture, I mean, no one, let's be honest, if a big-time free agent were to come to Cleveland prior to this season, they would have had to overpay him. Now I feel like it might be a place where guys want to play. They want to play with Baker Mayfield. They want to play under Kevin Stefanski's offense. So it's all about the culture. And if you can keep it close or win tomorrow, that's just going to help that, obviously.
Right. Yeah, and that's why the culture is allowing them to be in this game right now. They've had so many opportunities the past month or so where this all could have been – we could have been done. We could have been – looking towards the draft, just expecting the draft coming up, but the culture overcame a lot. They had the next man up mentality. They never gave in to the doubters that said, "Oh, they had no chance last week." They step up every time they play for each other, which is amazing to see for a Browns team that we've not seen in quite a while. They don't give in excuses, and they use everything that they can to motivate them and just play hard. They're playing one of the hardest playing teams I've seen the Browns team be. They're never out of the game, and it's a fun team to root for. And it just shows you that was one of the biggest things missing from this franchise for the past two decades
was being culture. Fun. I thought you were going to say being fun. Well,
being fun, obviously that, yeah. But what started that being fun was the culture. Just the culture here it's night and day from what we've experienced. Just look at the stories across the NFL right now. Like Houston is a mess. Their quarterback doesn't want to be there. Like that used to be the Browns.
Yeah, like, it is so nice. Yeah, it is so nice. For the last two decades, basically, those stories, if someone had said, read this story, but don't include the names or the team, like 90% of the guesses would have been Cleveland Browns.
Right.
It is so nice to read those stories and see all this chaos and it not be about the Browns.
Right. How many times have we seen inside sources or anonymous sources just say how bad the culture is, how much
anonymous player, but yeah, anonymous players lash out on Browns head coach. It's right. Stupid stuff like that now it's about playoffs and winning football, and stuff like that is happening around the league and the Browns don't have to deal with it anymore.
Right. It's amazing. Just in a year, in 1 year, like last season, we experienced that. How many times have we saw sources after the season just come out and say Freddie was unprepared. The coaching staff had no idea what they were doing. The players weren't ready for anything. It's night and day from what we were experiencing last year to now. It's fun, man. I can't believe that we're in a position where we have a quarterback.
Yeah,
we have a coach. We have
a culture.
Those are culture
in the NFL. And those are the first three things we mentioned. I feel like are the three most important things for a successful NFL team. The culture, the head coach, and the quarterback. If you don't have one of those three, you're probably not going to be successful.
Right. If you have,
I mean, I guess if you have, okay, my bad. If you have Tom Brady, you can probably have a bad head coach because Tom Brady makes bad head coaches look good. I'm not saying that Bill Belichick's,
which they probably do in Tampa Bay, but
yeah, I'm not saying that Bill Belichick's a bad head coach. But it's pretty evident that Tom Brady made him look very good, especially Josh McDaniels, but we won't get into that. It's just amazing to see that the Browns have all three of those. It's like the perfect triangle. And when was the last time that we could say that? Seriously. I couldn't tell you. It's not in my lifetime, I don't think.
Yeah, not in my lifetime. Whenever Bernie played, I guess. I don't know. It's just amazing. Just the turnaround in 1 year, I still can't get over it. It's just been one season in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a season that we've never seen before with so many different changes, not much practicing, not much like in-person things. It's amazing that the Browns were able to do this in one season during all this, all the things going on in the world. It's amazing where they're at, and it makes everything so much fun.
Yeah, I mean they had a training camp, I guess you could say. They didn't have the preseason, and this coaching staff, it shows you how good Kevin Stefanski and these coaches are too, that they were able to prepare this team to play in week 19, even without a train, or they had a training camp, but even without a preseason, they were literally thrown into the fire under a new coaching staff, and they're, what are they now, 12-5?
Right. Yeah. It's amazing. It's just,
yeah. That's why I know everyone's going to say, well, it's cliche to say you're happy no matter what, but even if the Browns, I don't think they'll get blown out tomorrow, but even if the Browns get blown out tomorrow, I'm still ecstatic about this season in the future.
Right. Who wouldn't? Like, there shouldn't be any Browns fan after, like, say tomorrow they lose. There, no one should feel bad about this season. This season's been amazing. It's a bright future ahead, with so much stuff they can do to this roster that can they improve on, and with so much assets they still have. It's amazing because we have the three biggest things that we talked about: coaching, quarterback, culture, and it's amazing. And I can add a GM too that knows what he's doing, which is just amazing.
Speaking of GMs, we can have a whole podcast about how Ray Farmer is still getting opportunities, but we won't talk about that. We should, you know what? We won't podcast about it. We'll text about it. How about that?
Correct. Ray Farmer's text, man.
Ray Farmer's
text. That just shows where we've been, man. We had a Ray Farmer text.
That is literally one of, I forget who even was that. I think it was Kyle Welch back in the day. Yeah. That was one of the greatest series in Waiting for Next Year history, was Ray Farmer's texts. Yeah, but back to the Browns. Yeah, no matter what, I'm happy. Seriously, I feel like some national writers are probably hoping that the Browns get blown out tomorrow just to say, I told you so. But the Browns are in the divisional round. The Browns are one of 8 teams left. 24 teams will be watching the NFL playoffs today and tomorrow from their couches like we will be. There's only 8 teams playing, and the Browns are one of those.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I agree. I think we're going to be in this game tomorrow. It's going to be, I think, a close game. It's going to be a fun one, high-scoring shootout. And I just want to see how this team performs. That they're facing the best team in the league. Let's see how they measure up. I'm ready to see it.
All right, so 2 final questions. 1, the perfect blueprint for the Browns to win tomorrow. Offensively, we know what's going to happen defensively. We know what needs to happen, at least. We need Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward to play very well and the linebacker to be mediocre. But offensively, perfect game plan.
Start fast. Got to start fast. Take advantage of their rustiness coming off 2 weeks of not playing. Run game's got to be elite. They got to control the clock. Controlling the clock, keeping Kansas City's offense off the field is going to be huge. And then limiting the mistakes. They just can't. They can't make any mistakes. No turnovers. No bad penalties or anything like that. They just can't. The offense can't afford to do that because it's gonna kill their drive, and then it's just gonna give Kansas City more opportunities to make plays on offense. So those are the big things, I think. And obviously, an elite Baker Mayfield is going to be key.
Yeah, I think elite Baker Mayfield's key. But even if he's like 80% elite, you need Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt to be elite. At least you need one of them to be elite, because then that way they'll take over later in the game. But you need one of those two to be dominant.
Yeah, yeah. The run game's got to be dominant. They got to control the game.
All right. I'll ask it. Prediction tomorrow.
Okay. I say Browns fall, but they lose on the last drive, Patrick Mahomes beats him in a last-second touchdown. Last few-minute touchdown.
Oh, I was going to say last-second touchdown. Holy cow.
I won't do that to Browns fans.
Yeah. Do you know what? If they're in it in the last drive, and do you know what? If it's a last-minute drive, that means Baker has an opportunity to win the game too. Right. I'm all for that. Seriously, if they're in it in like the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, I'm all for it, no matter what the outcome is. Seriously.
And another prediction, I think both teams are in the 40s.
Bet the over. That's basically what Joe said. Bet the over. Yes.
I don't even know what it is. Bet the over.
I don't know what it is either. I haven't looked at all that. But yeah, so Browns or Joe thinks a high scoring loss. But there's nothing to be sad about even if that happens. That's the best part. It's house money, and there's literally nothing that is done tomorrow unless it's like 70-0 loss.
Right. And someone gets hurt. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy no matter what tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll find out at about 7 o'clock tomorrow when we're doing this podcast again. But I think I'm gonna be happy no matter what.
I think it depends on how they lose. If they lose. Like if it's like a self-inflicting, say they do some stupid turnover.
True.
Or some stupid penalty that obviously that's gonna crush us. But if they're in the game, they're fighting the best of the ability, I'm ready to take whatever result it is.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the only way I'll be angry is if the Browns have a chance to win and it's their fault that they lost. That's the only reason I'll be angry.
Right. Right. Yeah. If Kansas City outplays you, so be it. That's the number one team in the league there.
Yeah. So tomorrow, enjoy it. I know. I feel like I said this last Sunday too.
We said it the last three games.
Yeah, just enjoy it. Enjoy everything about it. And the Browns are in the Elite Eight, so just enjoy it. Seriously.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. I can't wait.
Yeah, enjoy it. Hopefully, it's fun. Hopefully, it's a close game, and just take it all in, Browns fans. Just take it all in.
Yeah. All right. I can't wait.
Thanks for joining us for another preview edition of the Waiting for Next Year podcast, Browns edition. Yeah, enjoy it, Cleveland. We'll be back with you in about 27 hours, hopefully talking about a win.
Yep. See you guys.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.